The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by ZipRecruiter. Forgetting to start the hottest quarterback in the league, Josh Allen? Not smart. Using ZipRecruiter to find qualified candidates fast? That's smart. ZipRecruiter identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, then actively invites them to apply. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010.
Welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. It's Wednesday. It's hard to think about those lineups you're going to set with waiver claims now in, submitted, and hopefully won. I am Field DH, joined as always on Wednesdays by Michael Clay the 7th. Hello, Michael.
How you doing? I'm actually the 2nd. I don't know if you knew that. Do you know that? I'm junior.
You're junior.
I'm Michael L. Clay Jr.
What's the L say? Lester.
Lester, yes. Indeed.
That's right. That one I knew. Yep. And the one and only, Star Fonjabel. Good morning to you and welcome back.
Good morning. Feels like I never left.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I'll just let you ponder that.
We will interpret that as we so choose. We have a big show today coming up. Of course, we've got Stefania back, so tons of injury updates. And it's a weird week. Normally, I'd say to you, like, week 15 probably isn't anybody that can be worth it in terms of adding them on the waiver wire. Yeah, there were a bunch of players that were worth it. A lot of running back injuries to digest right now. Moreover, we've got quarterback rankings. Michael Lester Clay Jr. is the most disrespectful man in all of America.
More than Daniel? Disrespecting Julio?
That's right. Yeah, oh my gosh. Daniel, don't get me started on
the worst take ever. That was a popular theme on Twitter last night. That was people, I set it up and everyone just went after.
You opened
Daniel.
The
wolves. It was beautiful.
Yeah,
it was beautiful.
He
deserves it.
He got the karma though, because Daniel Dapp, as you know, our producer extraordinaire sometimes, is not with us today because he's ill. Mm-hmm. And I think the Julio Jones karma came back and whacked him.
He had deep regret over it, and it made him sick to his stomach.
Oh, that's what it was. He crawled into his Twitter shell last night.
You that's what happened.
He
very
did.
Turtle-like. We're supposed to call him Secret Turtle instead. Let's get to the football.
Well done.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
News or noise?
Loud noises!
You know what, though? This just dawned on me. Is that, like, when Daniel's not here, we have Tarika, so we're left in capable hands. Like, we're not talking about going from, Aaron Rodgers to Brett Hundley last
No, of
year,
course.
Right? Like, who would be the equivalent of, what would be the, like, we're going from, well.
Well, let's be clear. Yeah. It's is an easy one. It's going from Carson Wentz to Nick Foles, who won a Super Bowl.
We need a Super Bowl.
Super Bowl champion.
That's right. So maybe it means that, while his Lions, This is
my come up.
Right? See?
Uh-oh. Daniel, you are on the hot seat, my friend. A lot of news to get to. And let's start in Pittsburgh, Stefania. We're both the running back and the quarterback are banged up. James Conner, Mike Tomlin says, has a chance to play this week. What might we know about how great those chances are?
Well, if you listen to the rest of what Mike Tomlin had to say, I think it tells you, because Mike Tomlin said he has a chance. He's made good progress in his recovery so far, but he would need to come back and make progress in practice, actually showing them, convincing them essentially that he'd be ready to take the field. And he followed that by saying that there's not even a certainty that he will actually practice. So, when we say there's a chance, we're talking about an outside shot, I believe. Look, you never know, because some players heal more quickly than others, but we talked about this being a sprain. It looked like the mechanism of a high sprain, obviously a lot of discomfort initially. You're not going to push a guy before he's ready, especially when as valuable as James Conner. So yes, we're encouraged by his progress, but no guarantees.
Well, that and which is, I was going to say, sort of a good news, bad news, right? Like, it's good that he's making progress. Bad news that we may not see him on Sunday against the Patriots. Mike, which opened up the door to more Jalen Samuels.
Yeah, no question. 46 snaps on Sunday. Stephen Ridley played 8. It was not even close. Clearly the workhorse in that backfield. Yes, Ridley came in at the goal line, stole a touchdown. That could happen again if these two guys carry the load in the backfield. But Samuel's clearly the top fantasy play. Kind of what we expected last season. He would get enough carries to keep him afloat and would see a gigantic share of the workload as a pass catcher. Had seven targets in that game. So That's where you're looking at. He's a fringe RB1, again, if Connor's out.
Yeah, the Steelers really couldn't get much going in the running game last weekend against a bad Oakland defense, but it's a good matchup against the Patriots, who have struggled to defend the run. Now Ben Roethlisberger's
right. A rib injury that kept him out of practice, or is not going to have him practicing today, but Ben has said that it's not going to keep him out of the game, and I think based on the fact that you saw him come back in after last week, already tells you that he's going to play.
Never dull, though, right?
No, no. And you know, he lets you know what he's experiencing. I mean, it sounds like he was sharing with the media that, you know, soreness, difficulty sleeping, and rib injuries, I'll give him this. Like, they're very, very painful. I don't want to minimize the discomfort that he says he's feeling, but we're going to know about it. We're going to hear about it. And then, as usual, he'll probably play and play well.
Probably play well and tell you how
big games for them, too.
Yeah.
A couple of huge games with New England at home. Then they go to New Orleans, and they need some wins here to get into the playoffs.
You know, normally we talk about ties looming large. So, like, if you had won that game, it really would have helped you. Like the Colts, who could have potentially tied against the Texans and avoided the loss. The Steelers tied against the Browns all the way back in week one. That game, that tie looms
it's
large.
Gonna come
right
back,
now,
right?
They've got that half-game edge over Baltimore. And Ben Roethlisberger in a very good spot if he plays against the Patriots, who last week, obviously one of them was the miracle touchdown. But, you know, not like this has been a world-beating defense by any stretch this year.
Yeah, no question. And he's at home, which, again, he's been fine on the road this season, but we know he's outstanding when playing at home as great weapons. We've talked about this all year. Just as supporting cast, the offensive line, the weapons he has to throw the football to, he has set up very nicely once again.
The Chargers, I think this is probably the injury question mark of the week because it's hit a lot of different tent poles so far, right? Like Melvin Gordon has gone from possibly playing last week to obviously not playing last week to possibly being ready for Thursday, likely being ready for Thursday, unexpected to play on Thursday. Stefania, where are we at 11:06 a.m. on Wednesday, some 33 hours away from kickoff.
The simplest answer is that he's expected to be a game time decision.
Okay.
That is the expectation for Melvin Gordon. But to recap a little bit of what you talked about, he really didn't have a chance to play last week. So whatever rumors that were floating out there, Melvin Gordon didn't practice at all last week. And if you know anything about how the Chargers operate, you knew that he was not going to take the field if you followed that. Now, this week, he returned to limited practice on Tuesday. So that gets you to start paying attention. Like, oh, you know, didn't practice Monday. So people are like, oh, maybe not. But does come back on a limited basis on Tuesday, appeared to tolerate it well. He spoke with reporters. So that's always a favorable sign.
Yep.
And essentially, I think they want to make sure this was a sprained MCL. Very difficult for a running back to make the sharp cuts, the agility maneuvers. They need to see that he can do some of that before they're going to grant him playing time. Gordon is always a guy who wants to push to play. And if you remember how this injury happened, he had soreness in his other knee, then he had microfracture surgery in previously. We saw him go out and score a couple touchdowns. That was a game where they were considering holding him out to protect him. He stays in the game and ends up with this injury. So I think it reminds us that just on-field time means increased exposure to injury. If he plays, I don't expect a snap count in order to protect his knee in terms of he might overwork it. I think it'll be sort of game flow dependent. You're always getting feedback from the player. How do you feel? But also being mindful of the more you're on the field, the more there's a chance for injury. So I do expect to see Justin Jackson because we're not going to see Austin Ekeler.
So that's a lot to process right there, Mike. But the short version is this, is that like we have two scenarios basically. One where Melvin Gordon plays and Justin Jackson backs him up. One where Gordon does not play and then all of a sudden Justin Jackson becomes the play. Let's evaluate the Melvin Gordon playing situation because people are probably asking about that. Like if Justin Jackson's the only one, you're going to play him because someone has to carry the football. But based off what Stefania said, like I'd be encouraged if I roster Melvin Gordon and he plays on Thursday night. Like this is not him going out there and playing 12 snaps and then, you know, hey, like I'm active because, you know, I'm healthy enough to give a partial go. Like if he goes, not quite a full go per se, but good enough to be in your lineup.
Yeah, let's be honest. This is not a team that's like some of the others we've mentioned that's just fighting for a playoff spot. They're going to get in, barring a total meltdown here at the end. So they have Super Bowl aspirations.
Yeah. First of all, they want to win the AFC West.
Listen,
totally been the team that, like, if anybody needs to do whatever it takes to secure that playoff spot, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Isn't it LA?
Yeah, sure. But I think they're looking to win a Super Bowl. Not, right? This isn't their Super Bowl necessarily. So my point is, I don't think they're throwing him out there if he's just hanging on, like, we'll see if we can get 10 touches out of him. If he plays, right? I mean, it's to be a...
Right. I think, in other words, and this is the kind of injury, too, where you're not, like, if he wasn't right, if you were concerned, you wouldn't put him out there at all.
Sure.
Right. You know, so I think you put him out there, but you're also just cognizant of the fact, just like any other player on the team, the more you're physically on the field, the more risk you are. So I would expect a little more balance. But the bottom line is, for me, if he's on my team and he's active on Thursday night, I'm starting him.
I agree, because look what he's done this season. His worst weekly finish is 13th. It's crazy. He's been top 10 in 80% of his games. That's highest at the position. Better than Gurley, it's better than everybody. Wow. He's been the best in that department. So even if you take away five touches, which is a fair, it's a fair number to say he's limited, they take away five, six touches, he's still a fringe RB1? Absolutely. If he's on your team and he's active, unless there's a report that he will be like capped at 10 touches, you fire him up.
Feel good about that one, especially because he is one of those players that, like, if this game gets out of hand, which we don't think the Chiefs are going to win this one by 21 points,
sure.
But if the Chiefs explode on Thursday night, you know the Chargers' best pass catching running back is?
Melvin Gordon.
He'll stay on the field, certainly in passing downs if need be.
Yeah, now, Austin Eckler, just to follow on that, dealing with the stinger issue. There was an article in The Athletic, Sam Fortier, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, got some good quotes from Austin Eckler about his injury, and Eckler said he understood it to be not quite a stinger because a bruised nerve is in his neck. I mean, not to get too technical, but if you go to American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, you want to look and find it on the web. A stinger is either a compression injury or a stretching injury. So technically, yes, he does have a stinger. Bottom line, nerve pain into your arm, hand. And he said, look, it's a life decision. Life is bigger than just the next week of football. He knows he needs to get right. So expect him to be out this week, potentially longer.
Okay, keep an eye on that one. And certainly keep Justin Jackson on your roster, even if Melvin Gordon starts on Thursday night. A lot of value there in Justin Jackson. Now, other side of the ledger in this game is the Chiefs. And where to begin, Stefania? Let's start, though, with Tyreek Hill, who seems like the rosiest outlook of all the current Chiefs.
And yet, to me, this is going to be maybe the toughest call for me as a fantasy player, because his quote, I believe it was Peter King that had it, was that he said, my foot is bad. That was him coming out of last week, and he talked about how the medical staff did a great job in terms of like wrapping his foot, rewrapping it during the game, giving him enough to help him get through the game, but he was clearly uncomfortable. It's a problem that's not gone away. He's listed on the news report because of his heel, so it's pain that is in or near his heel, even though we don't have the exact nature of it. You can infer from that what you will, but it's going to be problematic for him. It's not something that's going away. He also has a wrist issue that he's dealing with. So the good news is that he was out there doing limited practice on Tuesday, so you're encouraged by the fact that it looks like he'll appear to play. But this is one of those where I wonder, is he going to get into the game? Something happens. His foot gets really uncomfortable. He comes out, like, hard to know what to expect. But with Spencer Ware not practicing because of a hamstring issue from last week's game, got his shoulder banged up, then hurt his hamstring late in the game. Sammy Watkins not practicing again because of the ongoing foot injury. You know Tyreek Hill wants to be out there to contribute. I just don't know how much to trust him because he's dealing with something that he said was bad just a few days ago.
Tough guy, obviously. And, you know, the adrenaline of a big game can certainly get you out the gates typically. But it's what happens when you take one false step, you get hit, maybe it's cold.
You get your foot stepped on.
Change.
You know, if it's your foot, I mean, just he's a speed guy. If you can't be, you know, it's going to be hard to run and run effectively if your foot's hurting. It's not to be overly simplistic, but that's what it is.
So let's just go back to this then, Mike. So we kind of compartmentalize this. For Tyreek Hill, given what Stefania just said, will you push him down your rankings? Will you have to sort of operate as usual because it takes one Tyreek Hill play for things to become a huge fantasy day? Where do you land?
I think I land where I'm still going to have to start him if I have him on my team. I understand the risk totally. I think you can, much like Gordon, right? You take away a couple touches, he still falls in an area where he's in your top 20 at worst at the wide receiver position in terms of rankings. Not to mention, we talked about this yesterday, he has owned the Chargers. He's faced them three times and has had five touchdowns in those three games, one return, four offensive. I mean, the yardage totals through the roof. He has been highly efficient and effective against this Chargers team, who, by the way, does not shadow. They've never shadowed Tyreek Hill, so you won't have to worry about Casey Hayward. I think if I have him, I'm gonna have to fire him up.
All right, good news there if you do roster Tyreek Hill. Spencer Ware, very TBD. So the question is probably this. What's the value of Damian Williams, or is it Sharkandrick West, who all of a sudden would catapult into the Chiefs running back you want to play?
Or Darrell Williams, perhaps, the undrafted rookie.
That's right. We love your undrafted rookies.
Got a little taste of him last week. And there could be some value there. I think he's worth adding to the end of your bench, especially in Dynasty, because Damian Williams has always been capped as a passing down specialist. I know he went over 30 snaps last week, but that's probably his ceiling. You know,
But the question is it because of circumstances or is it because of talent, right?
Like, well, he's never averaged more than, I believe it's 3.9 yards per carry. That's his career high. I mean, he's never been an effective rusher. He's actually never had more than, I believe, again, I had this number yesterday. I don't have it right in front of me, but like 33 catches. Yeah, apparently. Has never had 30 catches is most in a season, roughly right around that number. So, he's never been that 17-20 touch sort of guy. And I don't think that's going to change. I think you'd see a committee with West mixed in and maybe Darrell Williams comes out hot and he takes control of that backfield. You know, he's probably of the guys on that roster other than Ware. I think he's the most likely guy to come out of nowhere like a Gus Edwards or a Jeff Wilson and just take control of the backfield. So he's a guy I'd monitor for sure.
All right, good news there, or good information right there on the Chiefs. Before we get to Kiki Cutie, not quite breaking news, but news that came to us just before the podcast is that Carson Wentz of the Eagles will not practice today, and Doug Peterson at least made it seem possible he might not suit up on Sunday, Stefania. I'm probably putting the cart before the horse a little bit there, but what do we know about this injury with Wentz?
Well, still early for this week, obviously, but he's been on the injury report previously because of his back and maybe sort of flown under the radar because he's played through things. Obviously, the big issue at the start of the season was his knee, but he has been intermittently on the injury report because of his back. So not a new thing. We know back problems tend to be recurrent and episodic. And obviously this now flaring up on him again, if it's enough to cause concern early in the week, I think that's legitimate.
Something to keep an eye on, that's for sure, Mike. And I think you have felt like this is one of those games. Maybe it's because you're just trying to reverse jinx it, but you don't feel confident in a lot of Eagles this week.
No, I mean, they went out to L.A. and won last year. That was the game where Wentz got hurt, coincidentally.
That's right. Yeah. Yesterday was the one-year anniversary of that, or was it 2 days ago?
About the same time. Yeah.
Tim McManus's piece on ESPN.
Yeah. Sure, he knows.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. But nonetheless, I think they're very much a long shot. Just the way they're playing and going in against this Rams team coming off that tough loss in Chicago, they're back home. I think they'll come out and have a strong game. And as for, I mean, this scenario, I mean, fantasy-wise, Wentz, I mean, I'm not starting anyway. He's barely inside my top 20 this week.
Yep.
The only reason you're even thinking about him is because maybe high volume if you're playing from behind. Same kind of thing with Foles. I mean, Foles is a worse player, all due respect to the MVP of the Super Bowl last year, but, you know, that's a step back, obviously, and playing against this Rams team on the road in a struggling offense, I gotta stay away.
We got grumpy Mike's here. We're going to find out. We're going to find out what
Eagles
Mike
fan.
Thinks about who's a good quarterback, because wait till you hear the venom. Mike is about to spit.
Josh Johnson, come on, right? He lit it up last week.
Well,
Josh Johnson, number one.
One more thing here, Stefania, and not quite as significant in terms of the name, but Kiki Cutie for the Texans. Mm-hmm. We expect him to maybe practice on Wednesday.
I think we do. I mean, Bill O'Brien said on Tuesday that he was still day-to-day but trending towards playing. I mean, we've been kind of following since the latest setback with his hamstring. He's obviously missed multiple weeks, but we knew they wanted to try and get him back towards the end. Obviously, they too are looking at the postseason with that in mind, so not wanting to rush him back, but sounds like there's a chance that this is the week he comes back.
Okay, maybe that just puts the already low value of Demaryius Thomas into a
even lower,
separates it even more. Another rung down. Really, there's only one wide receiver you can trust in this offense.
Yeah, no question. QT does have a good matchup against Buster Screen, so maybe DFS option if you want to throw a dart at QT off the injury.
Don't forget that game is on Saturday, so we should get even more information about the actual game status.
It's hard to keep
Thursday.
Track with these 4 days of games.
It's nuts.
We've
got Thursday.
I have to keep
my
calendar out because I can't.
I have that
track.
Same calendar right there. It is worth it every single time. Hey, one more thing to note, and I think we overuse the breaking news drop. I'm just going to pass it along as news. John Harbaugh just announced that Lamar Jackson will start on Sunday. No surprise there for the Ravens, but
I actually thought, I thought there was a chance because of Lamar Jackson with his ankle being a little bit gimpy at the end of last week's game and Joe Flacco getting cleared, but that yet being inactive.
My thing is this, though, is just because he starts the game,
doesn't mean
Joe Flacco is precluded from playing in the game, you know?
I think if it had been the other way, if Joe Flacco had started, I wouldn't have expected to see Lamar Jackson.
Well,
I
small
actually,
package role
right,
only, right?
I actually think this is the scenario that sets it up for what they hinted could happen last week, and they weren't quite ready to introduce it.
Especially if RG3 is inactive. We'll keep an eye on that one on Sunday morning. This game, I believe, is a 1 o'clock slate against Tampa Bay.
Let me tell you. Look at my calendar. Yes, it is.
1 o'clock slate. This game is in Baltimore the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. All right, time now for Stefania to tell us about 23andMe.
Let me get my other page.
You got a lot of pages over there.
I do.
Okay, nope.
A lot going on. But guess what, Mike Clay?
What?
I want you to pay attention. Phil knows this by heart because he's with me every day. But you may not know that now, through December 25th, 23andMe DNA kits are on sale.
Oh, yeah?
23andMe helps you understand what your DNA can tell you about you and your family story. It's named for the 23 pairs of chromosomes that make up our DNA. It's the perfect gift for everyone you love. There's never been a better way to give the gift of genetic discovery to your parents, your siblings, your aunts, your grandparents, and everyone else on your list. It's the one gift you can buy the entire family that will be unique for each loved one. 23andMe Health and Ancestry Service includes over 90 personalized genetic reports that offer DNA insights on what makes you unique. It's easy to do. You simply spit into the tube provided in your 23andMe kit, register your sample to your personal 23andMe account, and in a few weeks, receive your personalized online reports. There's an ancestry composition report. With 23andMe's ancestry composition report, you can explore where your DNA is from out of 150 or more regions worldwide. You can explore the genetics behind your appearance and senses. Did you know that there is a mosquito bite frequency report?
What?
I did not know that.
No, see, I'm
interested
in that.
I got your attention.
Yes, you do.
Some people may feel they get more mosquito bites than the people around them. So what makes some people more attractive to mosquitoes than others? Genetics may be partly to blame. So now through December 25th, get 30% off any 23andMe kit. Order your DNA kit at 23andme.com/FFF. That's the number 23andme.com/FFF. Again, 23andme.com/FFF.
Next time I get bit by a mosquito, I'm calling my dad and my mom. I'm going to blame them in full.
Paul Lester. Lester Sr.
Yes.
Right. We need to all. Do you have gloves with you today? Do you bring oven mitts, perhaps? Maybe it's cold out. Do you have gloves?
I have gloves.
Because Mike is about to melt
with the hot
our
take.
Phones.
Oh, what kind of hot
mouse,
take? Oh,
I'm
ready. What hot take?
Computer.
Do we have
warming him up.
Mike Clay.
Oh,
hates
this guy's hot.
Greatness. Let me think about
that. I'm used to it by now.
Let me ask you a question. Remember when LeBron boldly proclaimed he was going to win not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but six championships in Miami? Would that have been good?
I would say that would be pretty good.
Pretty good. Look at you. You just
decent.
Debbie Downer you. Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers have six combined Super Bowl wins. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, they
pretty
have,
good.
Actually,
right
if you take Tom Brady, if you take Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and me, we have six combined Super Bowl.
Well, in any event, Tom Brady, who last week lit the Dolphins secondary up, he was tremendous. Quarterback two on the week. Checks in. At 10 in my rankings, 11 in Stefania's, because we're smart. Mike has him at 16. Please, explain yourself.
I'm sometimes bad fantasy quarterbacks have good weeks. That's it. That's all I can know. And that's been the case this season. Tom Brady has not lived up to his ADP, and not only that, he has not been a good fantasy quarterback. We've talked about this almost every week. Yes, number one scoring fantasy quarterback last week. It was his first top 15 since week 7. That was a long time ago. He's been 16th or worse in 8 of 13 games this season. And let's look at the matchup a little closer here. He has owned the Steelers throughout his career. Has ridiculous numbers. But he's only played at Heinz Field twice over the past 6 seasons. Totals in that game, 18 fantasy points and 16 fantasy points. Only 3 touchdowns, 1 pick, and an average of 260 yards per game. So not a ton of recent success there. And by the way, how about the Steelers pass defense? Remember the first month when we were picking on them? They were really struggling out of the gate. Here are the quarterback fantasy football finishes against them since week 5. 18, 18, 20, 20, 20, 25, 20, 5, which was Phillip Rivers, and 14. Now, the schedule hasn't been tough, but Matt Ryan's mixed in there. Cam Newton's in there. I mentioned Rivers had the 5th. So they've been very good against quarterbacks as of late. By the way, the Patriots offense much better at home, averaging 4 touchdowns a game at home, only 2.1 on the road. So a lot in play here. I think this makes Brady a mid-pack quarterback option, not a starter.
Okay, interesting argument there. I am going to go back on the same argument that I made last week because my argument sort of prevailed in the sense of this. Tom Brady has struggled in terms of touchdown proficiency this year, but 10 straight games now he has thrown for at least 247 yards. Make that 254 yards. So he's getting you a 10-point cushion with the yardage alone over the past 10 games. What we have not seen is the short, easy touchdowns, and the Patriots got one of those last week from James Devon. Like, one of Brady's opportunities was taken away last week. So I just think that, again, the touchdowns are good enough and likely enough that I've got him at 10. Stefania has him at 11. Mike's a hater. That's what it comes down to. It was really encouraging at the very least to say this. Maybe Brady wasn't a dramatically different player himself last week. other than the touchdowns. But you knew who was a dramatically different player? Rob Gronkowski. Rob Gronkowski
totally.
Looked like
a fair point.
He was on the field, I think, for a team high of snaps amongst non-offensive linemen and quarterbacks. He was a beast.
Yeah, he's basically been on the field a lot in the last 2 weeks. And to me, that's one of the biggest measures of how much better he's feeling, because his presence on the field really dropped when he was not, I mean, not counting being totally absent, but the number of snaps he was playing was down.
I was going to say, he was great on offense. We'll just leave it at that.
Zynga!
Boy, you are really hating on the Patriots. Well, every position.
Come on. I mean, not so hot at safety.
Aaron Rodgers, speaking of goats.
To be fair.
Aaron Rodgers, Mike. Now, I actually kind of get your point here. But Stefania and I have him. I have him at 12. Stefania has him at 14. You have him at 18th against the Chicago Bears. What, like the Bears defense or something? Are they good?
I'm told they're good, per sources. I just confirmed that with the source. Okay. I have a field 8 source that tells me how good defenses
are. Got it. Tell me more. Tell me more.
So they're pretty good. Let's start with Rodgers here. Hasn't eclipsed 2 passing touchdowns in a game since week 5, which is kind of crazy for Aaron Rodgers. In fact, this is the longest stretch without hitting 3 or more passing touchdowns in a game since 2015. And that was the only other one in his career that's been this long. Kind of crazy. He's had either 1 or 2 passing touchdowns in 11 of 13 games this season. He's been QB 12 or worse 5 of his past 7 games. And now, how about this Bears defense? Second fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks this season. The past 3 quarterbacks to face him have finished 25th or worse. They haven't allowed a top 12 fantasy quarterback since week 7. They've allowed 7 passing touchdowns over their past 7 games. They're allowing 18 points per game at home. They just shut down the Rams. I mean, do I need to go on? Okay. Outstanding defense.
Yeah, it's an amazing defense. And honestly, when I put Aaron Rodgers at 12, I was like, I wonder if everybody else would be this low. Now, obviously, I think both of us.
Yeah, I was wondering the same thing. You feel guilty. This is the whole, like, you play fantasy, and if you've played for a long time, there's certain things that don't feel right. Ranking Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers low does not feel right.
Yeah, I was going to say, you do it long enough, and these guys have been in the league for a combined 97 years. Seriously, like, the only person I know that's been associated with the NFL longer than Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers is Matthew. And like, that tells you how long these guys have been doing it, for a long time.
Aaron Rodgers quote, sidebar, the Aaron Rodgers saying that Patrick Mahomes reminded him of a young version of himself.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no.
It's pretty darn good right there.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because you're like, come on. But then actually on Get Up this morning, they had a side-by-side of Aaron Rodgers scrambling and making one of those crazy throws down the field, looking a lot like Patrick Mahomes.
It's actually not a bad comparison.
Rodgers actually isn't.
Mahomes is a little stouter, but I think he's a little bit more athletic than Rodgers was in his prime. But Rodgers is a ridiculous athlete.
Right. And the whole notion of being able to make these plays on the move.
I think that to me was like,
I was like, you know what? I'm going to allow that. I'm going to allow that comparison to himself.
Pretty interesting there. Very, very interesting. I'm going to just pass this along before we get to the mid-roll, just to put a bow, well, not put a bow, but to add to further the Carson Wentz story. NFL Network report says that Carson Wentz not expected to play on Sunday night.
Wow. Okay.
So, that escalated rather quickly.
It downgraded the Eagles' offense a little bit. Rams are playing better with Talib back.
We've got a conversation on Golden Tate just a minute, which now might have a little bit of a different outlook to it. But yes, Nick Foles obviously is a very capable baker.
Adjust rankings.
Yes. Yeah. But Nick Foles expected to start on Sunday night. So that's a reunion for Nick Foles, right? Wasn't he a St. Louis Ram for a little while?
He was one of those. Yeah, he was one of them quarterbacks that, you know, was trending up and went to the Fisher offense and plummeted and then got out of there and did a lot better.
I don't know if they're correlation.
I'm not saying correlation and causation are the same thing, but you know.
I think you are, Mike.
It's an observation.
Look at Mike. I mean, do you know that Jeff Fisher, I mean, speaking of, like, he has the most losses in NFL history. Like, that's a record, all right, by head coach. You're hating on greatness again. How many records do you have in the NFL books?
I have none, but I've never lost in an NFL
undefeated.
Game.
Undefeated.
Never lost.
Undefeated
again.
Mike Clay. Quick break, and we'll be right back. You in the 06010.
All right, guys, so now we're going to have our ZipRecruiter Fan of the Week.
Hey, this is Josh Buck, the ZipRecruiter Smartest Fan of the Week, and I want to give a shout-out to the boys in the Illinois Beta League, where, despite sitting both the Bears D and Kittle in the first round of the playoffs, I'm still sneaking into the semifinals. Now back to the show.
Must be a really good team you've got there.
I mean, yeah.
Like, I can understand the Bears thing, but, like, why are you sitting George Kittle?
Yeah, and maybe you had Jalen Samuels or something.
You know what? But that would be the wrong platform.
Yeah.
Or Eric Ebron, perhaps?
No, I'm trying to think of any tight end.
I have told you numerous times to lay off Eric Ebron. He's the man.
Can I say? Nothing to say. He's been awesome.
Don't worry, Tariqa. He's just hating on all the goats today.
Yep. That's right.
Eric Ebron.
I did.
The passion of
Tariqa. I forgot I mentioned the
Colts. Be careful.
Yeah. Let's get to the running back rankings. And I feel like normally Mike is the person that would be like low on, people that are, players that probably aren't that talented, but.
Wow. Now who's being disrespectful?
Doug Martin, 20th in your running back ranks right now, Mike. Stefania and I have him in the 30s. Are you confident in this matchup? I mean, the Bengals do stink.
Yeah, that's the key here. I don't think Oakland's going to. And Oakland's, the offense has been better as of late. Let's give some credit there. Derek Carr's playing well. They hung in there with the Chiefs at home. They just upset the Steelers. Now they're going to have a tougher test going on the road, but the matchup's a lot easier. Let's talk about Doug Martin, though, first. Average weekly finish, 27.6. We talked about this last week. He hasn't been better than 19th, but he hasn't been worse than 34th, and that just happened this past week. He's RB10 in OFP, so you know the opportunity is there. That's since, of course, Marshawn Lynch went on IR. RB15 since week 8 in carries, and he's been double-digit in the carry department in every game. So, to talk about his floor there, he is a decent floor because he's going to get you a decent amount of carries. And then, as for the matchup here, he plays the Bengals. Most fantasy points allowed to running backs. 69% of opposing running back units have finished in the top 10 against them. 9 of 13 have finished in the top 8. Literally all of them have finished in the top 20. So again, we're talking high floor if you start Doug Martin as at least a flex. And there's a chance he could score one or two touchdowns, maybe put up 80 yards, catch a ball or two. I think there's a lot to like in this matchup. They've stayed committed to him as their lead back.
Okay. They have stayed committed to him, says Mike, which is correct. It's just hard for me to put a lot of faith into the Raiders offense. That's what it comes down to, right? Especially after they played well last week. I'm like, there's no way they can do
right.
two
It's not
weeks.
2 weeks in a row. And not to mention, I think Field, you and I are somewhat similar in the sense of when you're looking at the ranks, we always talk about, you imagine to yourself, could I imagine starting Doug Martin over this player? No. Doug Martin over this player? No. And eventually you're down in the 30s because it has to do with the trust level. It's not that he can't have those games and perform. It's a consistency factor. And there's nothing about the Raiders offense that has been consistent to me other than Jared Cook has been a pretty decent tight end fairly consistently.
Yeah, he has been very good. I mean, John Gruden called him their MVP. Make of that what you will.
Wow.
After that game on Sunday, he wants to re-sign him to a long-term deal. Watch Jared Cook
get
like
a
record setting.
I wish we could find the clip. Yeah.
Ebron's on a 1 year, right? So both
Ebron's
of
on a 2 year deal. 2 years, 14
million.
Oh, he was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
right.
Jared Cook about to get paid
and
this offseason.
Doug Martin.
Yourself.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you about the Jared Cook, but CJ Anderson, no longer a Raider.
That was quick.
To me, that just affirms that they believe Doug Martin will be healthy enough to finish out the season. Still doesn't guarantee he gets in the end zone.
I'll consider my rankings on this one, Mike. I'll consider it at the very least. You know, I'm thinking back to the preseason, and one of the difficult storylines for the Patriots was the Sony Michel injury that took place early on in training camp. Had his knee drained to make things probably a little bit simplified. You're thinking to yourself, like, man, is he going to be ready in time for the start of the season? And all of a sudden, that draft value started to plummet. You know what he did? He found his way, and he became a beast for the Patriots this season. Now, we understand that he did not find the end zone this past week, but he is still the dominant ball carrier in this offense. And against the Steelers on Sunday, Stefania, you and I, and Mike to a degree as well, we all feel like, you know something? Like, Sony Michel is going to get his opportunities to pound the rock, and he's as good a bet as any Patriots running back to find the end zone.
Right. I think when he's been healthy, he's been pretty consistent, maybe not in the touchdowns, but in terms of the volume of work. And we've watched twice now during the season, once at the very start of the season when, as you mentioned, he missed the first week because of the knee and was gradually worked up into a heavier load in the offense. And then after he had the setback midseason, not a setback with that injury, but a new injury, same thing. When he got brought back, worked his way up, but then has been consistently on the field. Volume equals opportunity, and I think that's where Sony Michel has the advantage over the other running backs on their squad.
Talented running back, always falls forward, that gets positive yardage. Patriots certainly like that a lot about him. Mike, if we were to discuss James White at all for Sunday afternoon, I think people were wondering, like, hey, was it 2 weeks ago where he was barely utilized in the game? Or was it this past week against the Dolphins? Like, his touch count was super low. But you think there's a chance, though, he could still stay very fantasy relevant on Sunday?
Yeah, I think he will, especially in this offense. At any given point, he could come out of nowhere and score two touchdowns and catch nine passes. You know, it's just the way this offense operates, especially going into Pittsburgh, which should be a pretty competitive game. You'd think they're unlikely to have a huge lead and just be running Michelle into the ground. So that being the case, yeah, targets are down for White as of late, but he does have 4+ in every game this season. And he's actually averaging 6.2 targets per game since Sony Michel's return. So it's still a decent number in the role in this pretty good Patriots offense. His probably the biggest drawback to White is his usage near the goal line has dwindled massively. I mean, he got a lot of work early in the season. That has disappeared with Sony Michel kind of taking control in that area. In fact, since his return, 0 touchdowns, 0 carries inside the 5, and 0 end zone targets. So really nothing near the goal line for White. That's the drawback, but still, you know, we were ranking him as an RB1. Now we're ranking him more like a back end RB2, but still starting caliber.
I think it's really hurt him since Rex Burkhead has been around. I mean, Mike Reese has been pointing out, had been tracking the snap count, and the snap count has dropped for him by what, an average of 10 or 15 since Rex Burkhead emerged.
Yep.
And so again, it's just opportunity. Like, he's not getting the same opportunity, so the volume can't be the same. And maybe, you know, the Patriots like it because, again, referencing what Mike Reese wrote, you know, keeps him fresher when they rotate him in. But my fantasy roster doesn't like it because 3 of the last 4 games, he's been under 9 points. And at time of playoffs, I'm not sure I want to. I'm actually have this legit question. Do I want to take a chance on sticking him in as a flex play? Because that's what he's become for me, because I'm too concerned about the.
I still have him right there.
I mean,
there.
I have
That's
him
exactly
ranked,
where we
right,
have,
yeah.
where I have, where I have James White this week. I have him at, let me see the exact.
He's a high-end flex.
Yeah, so there's still value there as a flex play for James White. All right, LeSean McCoy, there's some news here this morning. Keith Ford from the Bills, was promoted from the practice squad to the active roster, which is almost one of the first signs, right?
Yep.
You know, like, player might be out.
It's
moreover,
super
LeSean
early
McCoy
insurance.
Is not practicing today. So the writing is kind of on the wall here. So, Stefania, we think this could be one of those where it's not LeSean McCoy starting on Sunday.
I don't think so. Two reasons. I mean, that's obvious in my rankings because I didn't rank him. I just assume that he's going to be out, but he hurts his hamstring early in Sunday's game and is ruled out before the second half, you know, that he's not going to be returning. So I think they knew when you, some of those little things, you just take it like they know right away he's not coming back. Just makes me really suspicious when it's a hamstring issue and a guy who has had in his past a very significant hamstring injury. Why would you bring him back at this point?
Here's what the really interesting part, though, for
and
me.
And I don't mean for the season. I mean for this week.
This week, well, maybe 3 weeks left.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Nothing
maybe,
should surprise
but
us.
When I said, like, why would you bring him back? I don't want people to think it's fine saying he's done for the year. No. But just why would you rush him back into the lineup?
So I think there's a chance he doesn't play. I think it's pretty obvious here. But, Mike, here's where I think it gets interesting is Chris Ivory, the next man up, he's banged up. If you look at what the Bills have been doing, and the 49ers are in this category as well, they have said, listen, even if we have veterans who are healthy enough
let's
to play,
evaluate who else is on our roster.
Let's evaluate the young guys. Mm-hmm. Would it stun you if Chris Ivory wasn't the starting running back on Sunday?
No. I mean, we should learn our lesson by now. I mean, with these guys like Jeff Wilson and Gus Edwards coming out of nowhere, there's no question Mike Ford could be thrown right in there and get 12 to 15 touches in this game. The reports are all that they love this kid and can't wait to see what he can do in an NFL game. So there's no question. I think at the very minimum, he'll be mixed in if McCoy is out. If I had to decide between, let's say I was desperate at running back and then McCoy, you know, maybe Connor's out, you're yet Eckler, so you're just a mess. I would still pick Ivory as the top guy. I think he'll lead in carries, get a target or three. Marcus Murphy next in line as a passing down specialist, and then Ford would be third. But no question, it's risky because Ford could get a look here. Not a bad dynasty ad either. You know, deep dynasty league, throw him on there. I mean, they plan on bringing McCoy back next year, but long term, who's their running back? We don't know that yet.
Yeah, so keep an eye out on Keith Ford on Sunday, but I think the reality is you probably don't want to play any of these Bills running backs if LeSean McCoy is out, unless they say clearly, hey, Chris Ivory is our guy, no limitations, no ifs, ands, or buts. You mentioned Gus Edwards there a moment ago, Mike, and we're all in agreement here. We all have him as a 31, 32, 33 is where the three of us have him ranked. Tristan and Eric, who continue to do a great job ranking for us at ESPN.com, have him inside the top 20, but we've listed the mitigating factors here, Mike. He is a non-participant in the passing game.
Literally. He has zero targets.
Yeah.
Zero
targets over the past 4 weeks since he's taken on that large role.
I would say that's a non-factor.
I would say that's a zero for sure. by the way, it's shown up in fantasy for sure. He has 1 weekly finish better than 24th. He's been outside the top 40 each of the past 2 weeks. Despite getting a lot of carries, he has 77 of them this season over the past 4 weeks. We're talking about that window since he's been the guy. 77 carries. Only one of them has come inside the 8. as well. So that's another problem. He's not getting goal line work. And then last week you see a change. It's not the Edwards show anymore. It is a three-headed committee. He played 31 snaps. Kenneth Dixon, who's trending up, not down, 21 snaps. That number could be higher this week. And then Ty Montgomery played 18 as a passing down specialist like he was in Green Bay. I guess if there's a saving grace, they're playing Tampa Bay, fifth most fantasy points allowed to running backs. And actually five of the past seven units they face have finished in the top seven. So it is a good matchup. Maybe Edwards can find his way to the end zone and get 15 plus carries, but you just don't like it. You just don't like it, especially in PPR when you're not getting any passing down work.
It clearly is. He's a touchdown dependent flex play.
Who's not scoring touchdowns.
At the moment. All right. Was something, Tarika?
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that you were staying on task, about some ZipRecruiter.
I got this IFB is still funky. It's a new one has been ordered. But my IFB, it sounds like you're speaking through like a tin can.
I just don't want to deny the fans their opportunity to hear about ZipRecruiter.
Let's do it. Because drafting a kicker in the second round, that's not smart. Using ZipRecruiter to find qualified candidates fast, that's smart. ZipRecruiter identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, then actively invites them to apply. ZipRecruiter, it's the smartest way to hire. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010. All righty, moving along to our pass catcher ranks. And Mike, we almost got to this yesterday during Back That Up, but let's sort of do it again. The pass catchers in Tampa Bay, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Adam Humphries. Over the past 3 weeks, perhaps we've seen some trends here. How would you sort of stack these up and rank them if needed?
Yeah, well, I if I'm ranking, I would go Evans and Godwin, then Humphries. This is tricky because it's a very tough matchup, as I'll get to in a second here against Baltimore. But this Bucs offense is just designed to score against anybody. It's high volume. They run a lot of plays. They throw the ball a ton. They're always behind because the defense is struggling. They score a lot of the touchdowns through the air. It's built for these receivers, especially these three I just mentioned now with DeSean Jackson hurt, to score a lot of fantasy points and get a lot of targets. And that is what we've seen all season. So let's really quickly go through each one. Mike Evans, targets are down as of late, 18% target share over the past 5 weeks, but still has 421 yards during that span and is a top 10 fantasy wide receiver. So he's still safe to start. Chris Godwin, he had an ugly game last week. 10 targets, only one catch, but you love the volume. He has 16 targets over his past two games, over to 20% target share in both of those games. And actually, if you look back to it throughout his career, 5 games in which he's played at least 70% of the snaps, 8.8 targets per game. So you like that a lot. I think he's a great talent on the outside. And then finally, Adam Humphries, 25th this season in fantasy points. Believe it or not, he always flies under the radar. But he's been top 25 five of his past seven, and he has the best cornerback matchup. He'll draw Brandon Carr in the slot. He's decent, but he's not Jimmy Smith and Marlon Humphrey on the outside. So Humphries has the best matchup. Ravens, by the way, fifth fewest fantasy points to wide receivers. No receiver unit has finished better than 8th against them. They lost better than 12th all the way back in week 9. So tough matchup, but an offense built for success for wide receivers.
How about that? I mean, it's just crazy to think you could have 3 Bucs wide receivers inside the top 22 against a very good defense against Baltimore. But Mike, you are not deterred. You're just not deterred by this this matchup. You like Jameis Winston this week as well. I mean, don't love him, but you have him at quarterback 11 this week. Don't hate him either.
No, I mean, usually I have him top 5, so I'm certainly knocking him for the matchup. But again, this is more about volume.
He loves Jameis Winston and can't stand Tom Brady.
Wow, yeah.
I heard that on this podcast.
I mean, who was drafted earlier, guys? I mean, come on. I mean,
how about
draft pedigree?
All right, we talked about Carson Wentz, who we think there's a legit shot he won't play on Sunday, per reports. And Golden Tate.
Let me go back and unrank Golden Tate.
Yeah, Golden
Tate.
Seriously. Yeah. Mike, before this news, you didn't have him ranked at all, and you brought a very illuminating stat to our attention about his usage last week.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, if you ranked him inside your top 100 receivers last week, you were wrong. He finished 101. So
wow.
How about that? That was a disastrous.
Behind some notable players, I'm sure, right?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Behind
George Fant.
Who beat him out at 100?
Seahawks offensive lineman George Fant had more points than Gold. I mean, did he have any points last week? Did he have a catch?
I think he had one, right? I think he had, well, he finished 101, so I guess he probably had one catch. But nonetheless, he only has one finish better than 43rd since he joined the Eagles. It was that week, that fifth place finish a couple weeks ago. He's plummeting on the depth chart. I mean, he's already playing behind Nelson Aguilar since he's been in Philly. We expected him to be the 2, if not the 1 right away. And you saw some targets out of the gate, but the playing time has not been there. In fact, last week, Sunday, you just mentioned this, Alshon Jeffrey ran 34 routes in that game against Dallas. Nelson Aguilar ran 32. Golden Tate ran 10 pass routes in that game. I can't start a guy running 10 pass routes. I mean, it's even crazy. If he runs 20 pass routes, that's not good enough. So this has not been a good scoring offense this season. Now they lost their starting quarterback. Tate's not a good touchdown threat by any means. And by the way, since Aqib Talib returned for the Rams, the opposing wide receiver units facing the Rams have finished 24th and 30th. And that's Detroit and Chicago. So you have Kenny Golladay and Allen Robinson and Gabriel. I mean, there's some decent fantasy receivers there. You're laughing at Gabriel.
No, I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing at what Kyle is passing along about how bad that performance was last week from a statistical standpoint.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah.
I mean, I've got some more context to add.
Bobo
Wilson was wide receiver 100 last week. Bobo Wilson, who, what team does he play for? Oh, the Buccaneers. I remember from Florida State a little bit.
Yeah.
He had one catch for 8 yards. Only 108 wide receivers scored points last week.
And Tate was 101.
Was 101. Well, he wasn't the worst. That's good news right there. Sure. Yeah, I mean, we got to really adjust now.
But here's what I don't understand. A serious question, Mike. We talked about him not being involved when he first got there. And you heard the chatter out of Philadelphia that there was some, struggling with the offense, struggling with them knowing how to insert him into the offense, perhaps more than him struggling with learning the offense, but they were open about that, like how to factor him in. And then you saw this game against Washington where he goes 7 for 85 with a touchdown. That was the week before he ranked 101st. So how do we know that this wasn't just a Dallas defense that was hanging on him during the plays he was on the field? And maybe it looks a little bit different now in this matchup. I mean, how do you hang your hat on that and say he's getting wiped out of the offense when it was just the week before that they seemed to be actually integrating him more?
It's a totally fair question. And maybe he took a big step forward this week in practice and they're like, okay, let's feature him. Let's move him ahead of Aguilar. We don't know that for sure, but with your fantasy playoffs on the line, you want to take that risk. I have to imagine you have 3 or maybe 4 better options than him on your roster. It's just not a chance I want to take. By the way, he also has a tough matchup here, Nickel Robey Coleman. So, and he lost his quarterback. I mean, there's a lot
so
of
that kind of,
going.
I mean, I'm like, whatever. Not, like, there's no argument. Carson Wentz is out of this game and immediately it sort of makes it a moot point. If that's
really
the case,
interesting. That's the case. Yeah. Really interesting. Final three weeks ahead for Philadelphia, which I know Mike is not optimistic, but like they've still got a shot in the NFC playoff picture because nobody wants to take hold of that second wild card spot with Seattle in a very good spot to get the 5th overall seed. Josh Reynolds, Mike, you like him again this week. Both of you like him. I've got him a little bit lower than you guys. It's just hard. It feels like Josh Reynolds is really difficult to forecast when he's going to have a big game. He is capable and he plays in a great offense. Is this about how generous the Eagles secondary has been this year?
Definitely. I mean, he lines up on the perimeter 67% of the time. So let me throw a stat out and you guys tell me if you think this is bad or not. The Eagles have allowed the most fantasy points to perimeter receivers on the season over the past 8 weeks and over the past 4 weeks. Is that bad?
So you're saying there's
that
a trend.
Sounds bad.
That sounds bad. Yeah. And by the way, a lot of that was with their starting three corners. They're going to be without Sidney Jones most likely. Ronald Darby's on IR. Jalen Mills is on IR. So they're down to scraps, if you will, like literally guys signed off the street. So they're in deep trouble at that spot. This is a high-flying, high-scoring, Sean McVay-led, Jared Goff-led Rams offense. I think they get back on track at home this week, and they have a great matchup. I mean, they're number one in 3 wide sets. They feature that, and that's the weak spot. The Eagles have been kind of fortunate playing teams that aren't loaded with depth at wide receiver. You know, you think the Giants didn't have a game plan to attack that position. And then you have the Cowboys here who had Amari Cooper, but after that, kind of suspect. So, or at least unproven at the NFL level, like Mike Gallup as a prospect. But the Rams, different story. I mean, they have a lot of talent and they love using these guys. I think it sets up for a blowout, to be honest, by the Rams.
Yeah, your 3 wide receiver point is well taken. At one point recently, and it may have changed, Kyle had noted that over 99% of the Rams passing plays or passing yards or both.
Passing plays, but
passing plays,
yards,
it's probably yards, had come out of 3 wide receiver sets. They are determined to do what they do and do it really, really well. A lot of interesting rankings conversations that will continue to evolve and get into more throughout the week if need be. But let's turn now to Twitter questions because we've got some. We can probably take even more. Keith, what do you got? Let's hand the mic over to you as our MC.
All right. Ryan Garcia wants to know if you were to redraft if you were to draft for 2019, how many wide receivers would be in your top 5 and or top 10?
All right, so let's take our time on this one. So if you were to imagine doing a top 5 players for next year right now, I think we all probably feel as though the number one player is going to be Todd Gurley. He's earned that based off what he's done this year, the offense he plays in, the upside, et cetera, the age. Gurley, any debate there is number one or in the five for sure, right?
Gurley won.
Definitely in the top five at the very least. Saquon Barkley would have to be right in that consideration as well top five running backs, right?
Yep. Yep.
Any issues there? Ezekiel Elliott would seemingly be in the top five as well, right?
You got it.
He's been unbelievable this year. He's been very involved in the Cowboys passing game.
I was just going to say, and even on the rise in the passing game right now.
Young, obviously the player they want to use a ton. They certainly give him the football as much as they need to. Could see a contract extension this offseason too, but that's neither here nor there. And then it gets other running backs here. Would it be McCaffrey?
McCaffrey's been unbelievable
this year.
No question.
He's been probably the, you know, perhaps the best pass catching running back amongst the star running backs this season. So I think those four are kind of obvious locks there. But then, like, would Alvin Kamara sneak back in there, right?
I mean, that would be my next choice.
Alvin Kamara's been unbelievable at five. So I think Melvin Gordon
would
be right there.
Yeah.
We include him.
But I mean, just even looking at top five, if you go to last year, there was only one wide receiver that was maybe challenging for a top five spot. I think it's easier to make the argument that the wide receivers are less valuable just after this year.
Sure.
Because of the depth of the position relative to these star running backs who have been game changers.
Yeah, I agree. I think running back's going to make its comeback in draft season this year because just think about these names we didn't mention. Leonard Fournette, James Conner, Joe Mixon, Nick Chubb, Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, which
is crazy.
Be better circumstances.
Most impressive one, right? Because like we don't know where Le'Veon will end up. Wherever he ends up, we're going to be interested. If he goes to the Jets, I'll be interested there. If he goes to Indianapolis, I'd be interested there. If he goes to Pittsburgh, I'd be interested there as well. There are so many opportunities where I'd be interested in Le'Veon Bell. So is there a single wide receiver that you think makes your top 10 right now?
First of all, I want to say this. There's going to be people that still go zero running back because you can really get some serious receiver talent
if you do that,
and that's fine. I have no particular issue. I just think people are going to be on running backs, and it makes sense because there's so many workhorses, again, as both pass catchers and rushers. But it's the problem with receiver here is which one?
You have to establish who it is, right?
Yeah, who is it?
Right.
I don't know who it is.
Adams has been the top scoring wide receiver in total this year. No, Tyreek Hill has been. But Tyreek Hill,
it's like a half a point, right?
He's literally 0.6 points ahead of Davante Adams. But I don't know. Like, I also see a player in Tyreek Hill who's got, what, 1, 2, 3 games where he's had 10 points or fewer?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, you know, Adams has been the most consistent and steadiest player amongst all wide receivers this year. So, yeah, you got to establish who it is first. And then how you're going to make a case for them above the top five running backs. So I think we're saying clearly known the top five and maybe known the top 10.
Yeah, I think one or two.
There's probably
maybe
a couple who could crack the top 10. For me, that's when it would start to be like how it's shaking out, you know, because we talk about these tiers. We still have this handful of receivers. So if I'm in a 10 team league, you're not going to run out of those top tier guys before you get to number 10. But in a deeper league, by the time you get to the end of the first round, your Julio's, your DeAndre Hopkins, your Keenan Allen.
If you're playing on the beginning, you know Julio will be available, right?
Yeah. But Davante Adams and you know, I would have said Adam Thielen, although just the last, you know, see what happens in the last few games.
But again, it's like, how do you differentiate between an Adam Thielen versus an Odell versus a, you know, Juju based on, you know, all these guys that are just so good.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think an interesting debate, and I think you're going to see this pop up a lot, is right or wrong, you may be strongly on one side, is just straight up. We're not talking dynasty. We're talking Antonio Brown against Juju Smith-Schuster.
I know.
What do you take?
It's crazy.
Like,
I know.
You have one trending, you know, young, and Brown's over 30 and took a step back this year. I think that's going to be a hot offseason conversation.
By the way, if we can get, just to bring this Daniel Julio thing back to light one more time before we get back to Keith.
Oh my God.
If you go to our poll at Fantasy Focus on Twitter, which DOP take was most outrageous? Julio Jones being overrated or Shawshank Redemption being overrated as a movie? I think two outlandish takes both. Both qualify, in my opinion. We'll get the results on that on Friday. Other questions from Keith? You're next. What do you got?
Dorian Gibson wants to know, flex question for you all, Kenny Galladay or Doug Martin?
How about that? Mm. We were talking about Doug Martin.
Can we believe that this is actually a question?
This is a question.
That's
in week
a sad
15
thing.
Of the NFL season.
But Kenny Galladay hurt me last week in two leagues. I mean, one league that I did not move on in the playoffs.
Yeah, how about that?
And one league I managed to despite him and one league not so much.
You know, Galladay's got me thinking about something I want to ask you about in a moment, Mike. But so, Stefania, you would take whom in this?
Can I pick, like, C? None of the above.
The above? Yeah. I think I would still
go with Galladay.
He's going to draw the Tredavious White shadow, probably, Mike. So I'm thinking you're going to go Doug Martin here?
Yes, I will go Doug Martin. He drew the shadow from Peterson last week at 4 yards. He did get to the slot a little bit. Now, Peterson only covered him on the perimeter. White will do the same thing. So maybe 30% of the time he'll draw Raphael Bush in the slot, who's filling in for Tron Johnson, who went on IR. That's a good matchup. So you got to hope that he catches three or four balls in the slot to kind of bail you out, because White is outstanding, arguably better than Peterson at this point in his career. You know, there's a case to be made. White is awesome. So very tough matchup. I'll go Martin for the reasons I laid out earlier.
You know, a couple of things here. So you just mentioned Patrick Peterson shadowing Kenny Golladay on the perimeter. This week, the Falcons host the Arizona Cardinals. And I'm going to make this question up on the fly. Julio Jones at 10th in your rankings. Now, no one's going to say bench Julio Jones, right? But is there a more difficult matchup for a wide receiver in the NFL than playing against the Arizona Cardinals as the number one perimeter option?
There's several very good perimeter corners out there that you're worried about. He's probably playing the best. I'm just thinking through some of the guys, because like Byron Jones is outstanding this season, but only plays one side. But no, I think Peterson probably is the toughest. And we didn't think he'd shadow this season,
right?
And he has. So
sort of buck the trend that Steve Wilkes.
That's probably the toughest. New England, as in terms of scheme, does an outstanding job against perimeter corners as well. They made Malcolm Butler look great. Gilmore has been fantastic. Best play of his career since he's been there. Logan Ryan at times when he was there. I mean, they've done a great job, but if he's not one, he's, what was the quote from yesterday? Do you have that quote?
It was Bum Phillips on Earl Campbell. He may not be the first person in the class, but if we're taking roll, it's one of the first names to come up, along those lines.
Question. So yeah, I think that it's probably safe to say, but there's several guys in the list, including Tre'Davious White. And by the way, guess who he gets in week 16? Xavier Rhodes. So it just keeps going. It just keeps
sliding ahead for Kenny Golladay. Keith, one more question for you. What do you got?
Another flex one here. Five guys, though. Deshaun Hamilton, Cortland Sutton, Josh Adams, Kenneth Dixon, or Dante Pettis.
Do we have an idea how many he wants? One person? One player?
Just one, it sounds
just
like.
Just one?
Interesting. So do we feel like Josh Adams probably is, you know, he's sort of Gus Edwards-y, right?
Yes, yeah. Definitely.
Deshaun Hamilton or
Cortland Sutton.
One of the two. Yeah, I think it's got to be one of those two guys as well. I would probably lean towards Deshaun Hamilton.
Really?
I think that was a reverse from where we were yesterday on the conversation about those Broncos wide receivers, but gut call.
I think if Sutton comes in healthy and he's going to be a go, I would lean that way. I'm still going to give him another week as the favorite there in Denver.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know if I'd even try. You know, he's got a sore quad, banged up last week, didn't practice Tuesday. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm not trusting Dixon yet.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple of things, too, the past couple of days on this. There's a discussion about Cameron Brate and how touchdown-dependent he has been, and then with relation to picking up Ian Thomas. Like, you know, so do you have any takes on which one you feel more confident in this week?
Flip a coin.
I break 9.
I know it's
9.
A tight end. I know we've had this discussion a lot, but
flip a coin.
It's actually been a few people, different people have talked about the differences there.
Yeah, I've seen that too. I have Brate at 9 and Ian Thomas 10. So it's close. I think I feel a little more comfortable with with Brate, just a little safer. But
I hate as an analyst in this, just giving a flip a coin answer. But it's like, again, like we are projecting things that are within our control, but there are 22 variables in every single play. And it's hard for us to like seize too much control over these once the game begins. So both, like I think Brate has more upside as a in terms of touchdown production because he's scored more touchdowns, and I think that it's far less likely for Cameron Brate to ever have a game with 10 targets, whereas Ian Thomas could have 10 targets every game for the rest of the season.
And for what it's worth, Baltimore has been pretty bad against tight ends, whereas the Saints have been pretty good, so maybe that breaks the tie for you.
All right, so we've got a couple minutes here to say goodbye, but, Adam Schefter confirming that news we talked about earlier. Carson Wentz, again, the Eagles are concerned that QB Carson Wentz will not play Sunday due to a back injury. Nick Foles has been told to be ready. A source tells Adam Schefter. So that is the news of the day. Coming up on Thursday, we have our Chiefs Chargers preview. Very important game for a lot of reasons.
And a lot of injury questions in that game.
Tons of injuries. So I don't know. The only thing I think we'll have definitively by tomorrow will be game status reports. And will we have, I guess if a player does not travel, we'll know that for Los Angeles as well. So I guess we'll have two things available by tonight to give us a little bit more context on that upcoming Chiefs and Chargers game. Cannot wait for that. It is three of us once again back. We'll have an update on all kinds of stuff. Pigskin Pick'em probably, maybe some preview stuff for the weekend. And we still need to pick our ZipRecruiter Smartest Fan of the Week for week 16. In the meantime, before we say goodbye, you can find Stefania B87 on Instagram at Stefania_ESPN on Twitter. He's Mike Clay NFL on both Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Field Yates on both Twitter and Instagram as well. Anything in the hopper that's coming out today, content-wise, that we should be aware of?
The receiver corners just dropped early on in the show, so you want to check that out. The cheat sheet's there. The matchups are there. We got all the fun stuff. A lot of good ones. You mentioned Julio and Peterson. I do break that down in there, how worried you should be about Peterson. A lot of really fun matchups this week, so check it out. Upgrades and downgrades.
I didn't get a chance to promote this last week because it came out on Friday, and Friday being our busy day. But I have a new edition of the Answering the Bell podcast that is up, and it is on Ringside Medicine. So if you are a fan of MMA or boxing and curious to know about what the Association of Ringside Physicians has adopted as basically a return to play protocol, they are the only other group besides the NFL to create a consensus document about return to play guidelines following head injuries, which of course you're going to be susceptible to in those sports, that has had it published in a peer-reviewed medical journal, British Journal of Sports Medicine. So Dr. Nidecker, and one cool fun fact about him, my guest on the podcast, besides being on the board of the Association of Ringside Physicians, huge fan of the 06010 podcast.
Awesome. Oh,
and that
hello,
is actually
Doc.
How he connected. He's been listening for almost 10 years.
How about that?
So went from a resident to now practicing medicine and has stayed loyal to the 06010. So
very cool.
Fantastic.
We are back on Thursday with all the stuff we just mentioned. Go find that podcast. Go read that content. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
You're in the 06010. Never gonna hustle in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me because I don't think you could.
Jailbait, Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret Squirrel, Daniel Dodd.
Make it happen.
Mediocre.